Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by, as ever, the AMP Radio Network. So what we're going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to do a little one-round action, and we're going to talk about the news and notes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and bring in the hosts, because I don't want to waste any time. You know her, you love her. She's the life of the party. Of course, she's been standing on the beach this weekend. Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I went from tanning onto the beach to a freaking meeting in Arc today. Poured like crazy. Crazy rain.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, it was crazy. So at least I got my beach time in on Monday. It was nice. So what's going on, everybody?
What is happening? Pam, we had a little technical difficulties.
We're having a little technical difficulties still.
But we'll get through it. Because you know what?
Alrighty, so that's how we
go. Got the life of the party. And we got the gambler himself. Cue the music. Showtime from Tennessee.
Showtime. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table.
What's going on, fellas? And the beautiful Miss Pam.
What's up?
What?
Hey, Vegas in 3 weeks ish. I know Vegas in 3 weeks ish. I'm excited.
I know. I got a little impromptu visit from Dean. He came to Chicago, so I got a chance to hang out.
Dean from Georgia.
All right.
Fights with those guys. Yeah, we had a blast.
Nice.
Yeah, I saw your post.
Yeah, we had a blast. It was short but sweet. You know, Dean basically came in for a day and kind of made a real quick turnaround and was right back out the next morning.
Did he bring his beautiful girlfriend with him?
Well, he came by himself. It was just kind of like a story moment. He hit me up, I think, maybe Tuesday of that week. Like, he just got a plane ticket. He was coming. Because I think somebody might have had an extra ticket or something. I think it kind of worked out like that. He bought from them, so he got him a flight and came in, and we had a blast. I think he went to the Cubs game, too. We didn't go to the Cubs game, but him and Hal, and I think somebody else went to the Cubs game. Oh, Galley from Toronto.
Galley gets to go everywhere. I want to just travel in his luggage.
Galley's a good guy.
Yeah, I know. I've met him. He's great. Anyways, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only, the star of the show who knows how to drop a promo on MMA Junkie Radio. Drop his music. Marco from Wiggle Brother.
Marco from Wiggle Brother. I have to show people how to drop promos, man. Have to do it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Here's what I'm going to do. Smack my big fast for Money in the Bank WWE this weekend. Oh, wait. That's the wrong podcast. That's sorry.
Where's the record scratch?
How you doing, guys? Let's talk some MMA.
Marco, we're doing very well. We're glad to have you all here. We're glad to hear all of your voices. Finally, we got the kinks worked out. That's right. The International Studios comes through.
Who's
That's
kinky?
What I'm talking about. Who's kinky? I'm kinky.
Yeah, who's kinky?
Bobby Knuckles!
All right, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Was that amazing? Okay, sorry. That was amazing.
And we talked about that on Monday. That's old news.
Yeah. You know what? It was amazing. How about that?
It was great. Okay, listen, guys. I wanted to talk. I got some topics that I wanted to talk about, but of course, your boy Pam comes through, and of course, he's got his hearing today in New York City. The news is that they are going to do. I'm not surprised either. They're going to do a plea bargain and hopefully work something out. And of course, they were going to go back and work things out, and they're going to come back July 26th. So, Pam, I did not plan on starting the show with this. But of course, as I had mentioned at the top of the show, this is going to work in a one round kind of show. We don't have the Smack My Picks up. So it's just going to be news and notes. So, Pam, I'm going to give you three minutes to talk about your boy, Conor McGregor, and his appearance in New York City at the courts.
Okay.
Your 3 minutes now.
Okay. First of all, why does he wear his suit so tight and his pants so tight that he looks like he has jock itch? I mean, he looks like he has jock itch. Anyway, you know what? I think it's just it's a load of BS. I think Dana's getting the lube ready because he's going to get a slap on the wrist, and Dana's going to, you know, arms outstretched, butt cheeks open, and taken back with no repercussions whatsoever. So I don't even need 3 minutes. I think it's all bullshit. The end.
Wow. That's it, eh? That's all you got for us?
That's or? It. Yep, that's it.
All right. So Pam didn't want to take her 3 seconds.
I think that's all I did was 3 seconds.
3 minutes. Sorry, my apologies. I'm trying to play drops on this and do the show. I just said let Tony do it. All right, so Showtime,
like
move to you.
Like butt cheeks and lube. So not a drop for that.
We don't have a drop for that, unfortunately.
Okay.
All right, Showtime, let's get you in on this one because, like I said at the top of the show, I did not want to start with this topic. I had other things that I wanted to talk about, but it's big news. There was plenty of media there in New York City at the courthouse. If you watch the MMA fighting footage, whoever was taking that footage was kind of all over the place trying to get the news and notes, and it didn't really work for them. I don't know why we didn't edit all that stuff out, but anyways, I digress. Showtime, what do you think about Conor McGregor being in court and looking for a plea deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we didn't want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. Anytime Conor is in the news, he's going to pretty much distract our attention, you know, from whatever else is going on that week. But, you know, I figured that they probably would try to work a plea deal. I mean, you got to realize this, how important a guy like Conor is, you know, to the UFC. So, you know, you got big wigs making phone calls, you know, somebody owe this person a favor. I mean, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on. So I would think it would be a plea deal. You know, maybe they probably give him a fine. He may have to do some small community service or something. I mean, it'll be something simple like that. You know, they'll fine him in. You know, if I was Conor, I wouldn't really be worried about probably what happened with the criminal proceedings, but, you know, maybe the civil suits. But, you know, in a situation like this, the UFC has probably been behind work, you know, trying to, you know, work that out as well, you know, just to kind of make it a smooth transition. Once they get the criminal proceedings over with, you know, then headed into the civil suits and all that. So I don't know. I mean, do you guys know if Chiesa and Borg or whoever they're filing suits against them, or I would think something would probably be worked out.
I think Chiesa was. I think Chiesa had filed his. I don't know who else is going to, if Borg was going to. And I would say, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but Borg would be smart to keep his suit because he's got all those medical bills now.
Yeah.
which he would have been able to probably pay if he would have been able to fight. So
yeah, so for if anyone doesn't remember what happened, you know, Conor McGregor and his team busted into the Barclays Center and attacked, you know, a couple of buses, and Chiesa, Michael Chiesa, or Michael Church, as we like to call him on this show, was on the bus and, you know, got cut in the eye. And of course, there were other damages happened. You know, Rose Namajunas was not down with that. And as you mentioned, Pam, you know, the medical bills are piling up here. So maybe if Conor McGregor is able to, I'm going to throw this to you, Marco, if Conor McGregor is able to get away with this lawsuit with the city of New York, he's got a lot of civil suits coming up, right?
Well, so first of all, when it comes to criminal proceedings, 99.99% of cases like this, you know, first time being charged, misdemeanors or whatever, they all get plea deal. So that is nothing new. He's not gonna go on a jury trial. It's not like he can murder anybody. You know, yeah, he misbehaved, he assaulted somebody, and like I said, 99% of the time, this is the way it's gonna be handled, with a plea deal, a misdemeanor charge, maybe some community service, against some probation, and a fine. So that is nothing new. That is course for the. Man, I can't even think straight. That is normal. Now, why we haven't seen anything about the lawsuits is because the lawyers on the side of the other plaintiffs are waiting for the plea deal to be struck. Basically, Conor is going to plead guilty. Once he plead guilty, then you got grounds to set up the lawsuit. Because guess what? The guy that you're suing is already guilty on a court of record. So it makes the freaking whatever lawsuit you're going to push forward easier. And if you want to push for a settlement, you already are on a position of leverage. You know, you're already guilty. You're going to go to trial on this freaking lawsuit. You know, we got you on video. You already pled guilty. So either settle or we're going to take you to the freaking wrecks on a lawsuit in front of a jury. So, yeah, the older way is for the PDL to be struck. So they got more leverage when they go to the settlements. What I think about this whole thing is that, you know, of course Conor is going to be at his best behavior. You know, like he got a PR team there with him. His lawyer, a really good lawyer from the state of New York. You know, he's a very recognizable celebrity lawyer. So they're not going to allow him to act a fool or anything like that. And judges on the state of New York or any freaking court don't appreciate making their court a circus. So, yeah, he's going to play along. He's going to be on his best behavior. He's going to get a quote-unquote slap on the wrist, but it won't be really because he's still going to be on probation. He's still going to have to deal with the lawsuits and the settlements. But all that, when all that's said and done, when it comes to the UFC, we're probably going to see Conor fighting sooner rather than later. My guess is it's going to be the week prior to the Canelo Triple G fight on September 8th with Khabib, because, you know, then I'd love to stick it to Golden Boy and Oscar De La Hoya. And worst case, at the latest in November in New York. So we'll see that Khabib and Conor fight. That is going to be massive. A lot of people are going to get paid. And all the money he's going to make is going to help him pay all those freaking losses that are coming right after his freaking final arraignment on July 26th.
Okay, so let's talk real quickly about what the statement was released by Conor McGregor. It seemed very not good enough, Marco. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yep.
You know, he said, oh, I regret it. And he didn't even say it himself. It's like he went into his vehicle, wrote it down on a cocktail napkin, gave it to his lawyer, and said, do this. What do you think, Marco?
No, that was not him. That was not him. That was his PR team. The woman that was part of the PR company that was representing Conor was there, too. actually read the same statement. When you you're in situations like this, you want to keep it short and sweet. Acknowledge what happened, you know. Acknowledge that you're gonna make it good, and acknowledge that you gotta wait the process out and get out. Keep it short and sweet, and keep your mouth shut, because the more you say, the more you put yourself liable. Because you're not only talking about, you know, the criminal proceedings, but he's looking forward to those lawsuits that are coming. So the least you say, the better. This is not coming from his mouth. His own prepared statements are coming from his lawyer, and it's coming from his PR team. Connor got nothing, no input on what was said today. None. He memorized what they told him to say, and that was the end of it. Because this is no promotional game or like this and that. He cannot play the badass here. He cannot play the fool. He has to take this seriously like he is. He's been very smart about it. His PR team has been very smart about it, and his defense team, his lawyers have been very smart about it, because they're playing the long game. Not just the criminal proceedings, but the lawsuits that are going to come, and they eventually I guess they're going to settle, but they're coming, and they have to prepare themselves to try to soften the blow.
Yeah, I don't know how much they can soften that blow, though. I mean, that the video that we have of him throwing that hand truck, as they like to call it, through the window is damning evidence. Okay, guys.
Can I just real quick. We have video of him climbing the fence and slapping somebody too, and nothing was done about that either. So, I.
Yeah, but this is a criminal proceeding, right? So, like, we have to assume that they're going to follow the U.S. law here. I mean, he may be able to get away with stuff in his home country of Ireland, but this is the United States of America. No, Pam?
Yeah, we have guns.
Showtime, what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree with you guys. I mean, Connor, you know, he wasn't going to say much of a statement with this, you know, just keep it kind of short and simple. And, you know, with somebody with his status, and I guess with him not, you know, this is his first time really getting into some trouble. That'd be used. That's something he got going on his side. But I don't think they may make mention of what happened in Ireland, but he didn't get in any trouble for that, so I'm pretty sure that it may be brought up briskly, but it won't really play a factor, you know, in what's going on with this particular case right here. Once nobody got really injured, seriously injured, that it probably would be some, you know, a little slap on the wrist, and, you know, you better not do it again, and, you know, everybody keep moving, to be honest.
Okay, I 100% think that the occurrence that happened in Bellator is going to be used against him in the court of law. Maybe they go ahead and, you know, sidetrack that or go around that with the plea bargain. But I think that he's going to feel it, you know, and he's going to need to get back and fight again in the UFC. I think he's got one more fight, and I think he's going to go away. I'm tired of Conor McGregor. I mean, you know, this media frenzy that we saw in New York was kind of crazy, and it seemed like the court system didn't know how to deal with all of the media that showed up. So, again, it shows how much Conor McGregor is a star and how much he can help the UFC. Marco?
You must never live in New York, man. That is part for the course, man. Remember, the Gambino family was tried in New York, man, and at the meetings, media circus for the Gambino trial was freaking... This Conor McGregor stuff was freaking peanuts compared to that, man. New York, Brooklyn, this is part for the course. They don't care about that stuff. The judge is not going to be impressed with his celebrity. The prosecution is going to be impressed with a celebrity. We're talking about New York City, man. Come on, dude.
Yeah. Come on. Well, you had stated that the last time we spoke about this, so I agree with you 100%. So let's move on to the next topic that I have, ladies and gentlemen. As Pam had mentioned, we saw some great fights on Saturday, especially with Yoel Romero and Bobby Knuckles. Hashtag Bobby Knuckles. Marco, anytime you want to drop that.
The Cuban muscle crisis, Yoel Romero.
That's correct. So what I want to talk about right now, Marco, and I'll start with you since you're chiming in. The Illinois Commission versus Yoel Romero. We did not actually hear from Yoel Romero on Monday on Ariel Helwani's show. Of course, the last MMA hour that we are going to see. But his management team had mentioned that they're, you know, trying to sue the Illinois Commission. And, you know, we heard from Bobby Knuckles as well on that same show that he was mentioning, if you pay attention to the embedded series, that, you know, Yoel Romero had plenty of time to cut that weight. So, Marco, I'm going to throw it to you. And what do you think about Yoel Romero suing the Illinois Commission and his chances?
Well, first of all, he got a case because he suffered damage, you know. He lost some $50,000 in the bonus because, you know, he wasn't eligible to get a bonus because he
couldn't but that's his fault.
Like, well, no, wait a second. He also had to give 30% of his purse to Bobby Knuckles, like $70,000 more. So we're talking about $120,000 already on earnings. The commission cost him money. Now, strangely enough, if this was like a regular middleweight fight, 186 pounds, he would have made weight. He wasn't on championship weight. And then when he was making his cut, he was only 2 ounces off. And they cut his wake up an hour earlier because he was allowed a two-hour window to try to make the way. I think the commission botched this whole thing, man. According to George Lockhart, you know, who was a nutritionist for Yoel Romero during the wake up, they put Yoel in the hot tub. They took him out to rest, you know, because you don't want to be on the hot tub like a long time, for like 10 minutes. And on that 10-minute window, before they were going to put him on the freaking hot tub again, that is when not the doctor, but a commissioner came in and told him that they were not going to allow him to keep cutting the weight. The doctor for the commission, himself in there, did not stop the weight cut. It was just an additional commissioner that was there present that didn't like what he saw and stopped the weight cut. So, Yoel Romero might have a case, man. I don't say that he's going to win, but hey, we're in America and you can sue anybody for anything here. The whole thing was botched, man. I mean, you give the extra hour for Yoel Romero, he'll definitely make that. That's extra 2 hours is nothing. You lose that in less than 10, 15 minutes, man, on the hot tub. It sucks. You know, I mean, yeah, he did miss weight. He should have made it on the first try. But on and on, man, I mean, in retrospect, I'm going to give Yoel a pass on this one. You know, I've been hard on the guy. I don't like the fact that he did the stool gate. I don't like the fact that he missed weight on freaking in Australia when he fought Blue Rojo. But on this one, it wasn't really his fault, man. I mean, the guy would have made weight. They still gave us an epic fight. I won Bobby Knuckles and the Cuban Muscle Crisis to fight on a time loop and a time warp forever and ever and ever for my entertainment, because every time those two lock horns, is freaking epic. But hey, you know, whatever happened next, I'm softening up on the approach of Yoel, because in this one, that wasn't 100% his fault. So that's my opinion.
Okay, I'm going to throw to you, Showtime, because there's a second part to this, right? Because on Monday, previous to the fight card, Yoel Romero was on Ariel Helwani's show, again, the MMA Hour, and he said he only had 10 pounds to cut. And that was Monday. And I know the extra media and all that stuff that they were required to do. I made this point on Monday's show. So I'm just throwing it to you. With what Marco has just said about Yoel Romero and the Illinois Commission, do you think the commissioner who made the choice to stop the weight cut was in the right or do you think she was not?
Well, I mean, I think you need to have a doctor there to be able to make a call on that.
One more thing. From what we heard from Melky Kawa and his brother on the MMA Hour, there was three doctors in the room. There was a commissioned doctor, and there was a UFC doctor, and maybe there was only two doctors in the room. My apologies. And neither one of those doctors, as far as they know, said that the cut should be stopped. So there we go. To you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the doctors aren't making that call, I don't think a regular commission person should be able to make that call. That's like one of us making the call saying that a fighter, you know, can't fight. And you know, with it being that close to him making that weight, I mean, I don't like it, you know, to be honest. If he was that close to making it, I don't think to get point two, even though he's a very, very lean guy. I mean, for him to cut 10 pounds, I mean, he's probably just really just get drawing all the water out of him, because I don't really see where he could just be cutting. I mean, because he don't have any fat on him at all. He's just so lean. But I was actually watching it, man, and I was just like, damn, I hope he make this weight, you know. But when I had a bad feeling when I was sitting there looking, even before, I mean, when they were taking so long to announce his weight, I'm like, damn, it must be close. I mean, he must be close, but he must not be at the weight. You know, and they finally said he was 0.2 over, and I was like, man, that's crazy. I mean, I don't like it, though. I mean, if the doctors didn't say that he looked like he was in dangerous territory with the weight cut, I don't think the commission should have stepped in, you know. That's my personal opinion, you know.
Okay, Pam, so we heard from Showtime there, and on this show we've said multiple times that we're concerned about weight cutting, and we're concerned about, you know, protecting the fighters from themselves. And, you know, the person who made the decision about stopping his weight cut was actually the highest level commissioner that was there at the Illinois Commission. Now, do we need to save fighters from themselves? We saw John Morgan on the Embedded series telling us that he looked really bad. You know, Yoel Romero, if I remember correctly, also Ariel Helwani was mentioning on their post or their pre-fight show that he was grimacing and grunting every time he took a step. Like, do we not have to save these fighters from doing this? And of course, we mentioned on Monday that the weigh-in situation is going to be changing. There is no morning weigh-ins anymore due to your boy, Lord Dana. It's all going to happen at 4:00 in the afternoon, which means the fighters will have less time to rehydrate. So I throw that to you with all that information.
Okay. When Max Holloway was cutting weight, was it not the commission that stopped him as well from cutting weight, or was it a doctor that told him he couldn't cut any more weight?
That was a doctor. Okay.
Well, how long did Joel know that this fight was happening? It's not like he knew that this fight was 2 weeks away. He knew what his weight was supposed to be. He's had issues with weight cutting before. So if you know that you're supposed to fight at a certain weight, why are you waiting so long to cut weight, you know? And so you give him the 2 extra hours to do it. How long was he into the weight cut before when they stopped him?
Marco, go ahead and interject.
Okay, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
So, what was it? Go ahead.
Now, repeat the question real quick.
I said, what was the, when did they, when they said it didn't get, they didn't give him the full 2 hours, how much into that 2 hours was he into before they stopped it?
Less than an hour. less than an hour.
Are you sure?
I know. But
now, that is what the whole issue is, that they did not allow him the full 2 hours. It was less than an hour when they stopped for cutting. That is why everybody's having a problem with this. It's not because, you know, they gave him an hour and 45 minutes or an hour and 50 minutes. It was like before the 1 hour mark, they stopped his wake up.
Okay, it was what, for 2 ounces? Okay, the way that he looked, it looked like cutting any more weight, even an ounce, was going to kill him. So what if he would have lost those 2 ounces and just then wouldn't have been able to fight?
Okay, well,
you know?
Hang on, Marco.
You know,
can we just let Pam finish her thought?
It's kind of like a double-edged sword. So what if he would have cut the weight, but then you couldn't make the fight because you cut too much weight? So, I mean, you know, where do you err on the side of caution, you know? And these fighters, too, like I said, they know what their weight cut is supposed to be. They've cut weight before, so they know how difficult a weight cut is. So why would you allow yourself to get to a point where you have so much weight to cut right before an event?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can sue because you can do whatever you want to. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it at all. But, you know, but it was a great fight. So
okay, I'm playing devil's advocate here. So I'm not disagreeing with your point, Pam. I'm playing devil's advocate. We're talking about Joel Romero, Olympic rebel wrestler that has been cutting weight his whole life. And that he didn't make championship weight a year ago when he fought for the interim. Remember that. When he fought the first time with Bobby Knuckles, there was no issues. The second time when he went to Australia, he was in short notice, so that kind of... when it comes to wrestlers, man, it's like a little science for them. They have, everything has to be perfect for their wake up. And he's also 41, man. He's getting older.
Yeah.
My personal opinion, but I'm not a doctor. You know, there were doctors present there. That 2 extra ounces would not have killed him. You know, it would have sucked because I had caught weight before, and it sucked, but he would have been fine. Now... yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the guy got a full training camp, and he should have made weight on the first try. You know, he should have come in at 186. He should have come out at 185, and we wouldn't be talking about this whole freaking kerfuffle. But when it comes to the whole point of the first question that Brody said, is are there grounds for the Joel Romero to sue the Illinois Athletic Commission? And due to the facts that are presented to us, they stop a wake up, and that they stop at the wake up cost Joel Romero $120,000. That when it comes to Alonso, it becomes a punitive damage to him. So he have a case. You know, after the commission stop my wake up, it cost me $120,000 on earnings. And if he would have won the fight, he probably would have been even more because he would have been fighting for a championship. Now we're talking about on the hundreds of thousands of dollars he probably lost some revenue. So, yeah, he does have a case.
Yeah.
Okay, let me play double damage.
Okay, the thing that
advocate.
Concerns me, guys.
Go ahead. Now, I was just going to say, with him having so much muscle mass, and what percentage of body fat? Maybe 5% body fat, if even that? Where was he going to cut weight from? I mean, how much more do you have to go, you know, before you cause yourself damage? So, he can say that the commission cost him all that money, but in reality, he cost himself all that money, you know? So, but anyway, it's okay. It's Proteus's turn or somebody's turn, because we could go back and forth all night long with this.
No, it's my turn. I agree with... all of the sentiments that you guys are saying. If we want to play both sides of this argument, yes, Yoel has a case.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you listen to his manager, Melky Kawa tried to take over for his brother, who was actually there on the MMA Hour. And I thought that was kind of really strange because maybe Melky Kawa is the better speaker. But it seemed very strange that a person who was not there was kind of trying to take the reins on this. Listen, as Pam had said, and as I alluded to in the first place, Yoel Romero said that he only had 10 pounds to cut. And Marco had said, you know, he's 41 years old now. Well, maybe he should not be trying to cut that weight anymore. I think the UFC would be very smart to have Yoel Romero move up in weight and test himself against those guys up there. There's not really anybody up in that light heavyweight division, right? We talked about this on Monday. So we look at Bobby Knuckles. He is a lighter weight fighter in that middleweight division. He's a champion. And if Yoel Romero moves up to that light heavyweight division, maybe he's going to have more success because he's not going to have to deplete himself before the fight. And especially because there's less time now because Dana White is an idiot and he's going to change the weight cutting time and the weigh-in time. Anyways, I digress. I'm trying to zen myself out right now.
TJ!
Yes?
Yeah. One thing about that, Florida today is up to the commissioners, and California don't give a shit about Tennessee.
Exactly. Thank you very much for bringing that up. Go ahead, Marco. Prove that point.
So, it's going to be up to the commissions. Yeah. Nevada might play along because, you know, the USC is headquarters
big
in Nevada.
Money.
Yeah, California, don't care. They want to push their weight cutting program, so they might not. But New York might go with the win, you know. It depends on the commission on the politics of each freaking state, man. Some might move along with what Dana wants, but others don't really care. You know, New Jersey might not care. California might not care. New York might not care. Nevada will because, you know, homeboy there. But it's not just because Dana waved the freaking magic wand this is going to happen. He can do it internationally because he represents his, they have their own commission when they go overseas. But when it comes to the States, a little bit more difficult than just because Dana said so.
Showtime, you want to give us last thoughts?
Yeah, my take on this is somebody, you know, you're going to have fighters going to miss weight regardless of what time they weigh in. That's my thing. I know we had a discussion before I was telling about it. I don't understand why fighters don't do more like football players. You know, when I played in college, I probably played around 187, probably as big as I ever got. You know, during the summer, I may come in, I may put on a little bulk and come in at about 195, 196, and I would lose it all off during tour days. But even during the season, I know fighters is a little bit different, but I never walked around, you know, more over 5 pounds over my playing weight during the season. So I think fighters need to start fighting in the right weight class. You got a guy that's always trying to be the biggest little guy. You know, that's basically the thing. I want to be the biggest little guy. I want to walk around at 175 pounds, but I want to fight at 145. You know, that's stupid. I mean, you know, these guys are killing themselves doing that. And I just wish that they would go to making, you know, you got to fight whatever your walk around weight is. You know, you got to fight within, you know, some range of that walk around weight, you know. And I think
that's
guys
what California
stop putting on all that weight. Yeah, stop putting on all that weight in between fights. You know, stay on your diet and stop putting on all that weight. And if he's walking around at 100, like a guy like Yoel's probably walking around at what? You know, 215, 220 probably?
They say 210, but I don't believe that.
I mean, well, he may
Cuban
walk around
210.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think they need to put something in place to make these guys be within a certain threshold, you know, or a month out from that fight. If they start pulling guys from these fights and not let them fight, it'll get a little bit different when you start hitting their pockets, like the sitting pockets. It's going to be hard to do that, but at the same time, we're going to always keep having these guys missing weight, you know, if something is not done. I mean, because you got, you know, you just got guys trying to drop too many pounds, and I don't think it's safe for them.
Yeah. And I apologize to the listening audience. We're having problems with the audio and the drops. So we're not getting 3 minutes worth here, but I think we're having a good conversation about this stuff. Okay, so let's continue on the weekend that was. And, you know, Holly Holm had a very good impressive performance. Showtime, I'm going to go through to you again. Now, we had Ronda Rousey being announced that she's going to be inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame. The problem I have with that is that, you know, Ronda Rousey and what happened at the end of her career, especially after Holly Holm head kicked her in the head. I mean, that was the beginning of the end. So all of the stuff that Ronda Rousey had built up and all of the fame and fortune that she had before and that do nothing bitch stuff, it melted away. On the induction or the announcement of Ronda Rousey being inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame, and just what Holly Holm has been able to do, and the way she looked on the weekend and how improved she looked, do you think that Holly Holm should overtake Ronda Rousey in this spearhead of women's MMA?
Cyborg is the best woman fighter on the planet. So
yeah, but she's the only one in that weight division.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying she beat Holly. So I'm just saying I don't think they're doing anything wrong by putting Ronda in, because you're going about a lady that really put women's MMA on the map. So I think that's you know why they're putting her in. Her career didn't end the way she probably wanted to end. And, you know, it kind of made her look like a bad sport. But, you know, we got to look at what this lady did, man, of putting eyes, TV, and butts in the seats. You know, everywhere Ronda fought, it was, you know, it was pretty much a sellout. And she was the main breadwinner for the UFC. You know, before Conor kind of came in, it was Ronda. Just think about this, man. The UFC basically was looking for stars, you know, male and female, and Ronda was the biggest star in the UFC, period. It wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think she deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, to be honest. Especially, I mean, you know, now with them inducting her, that she's done. You know, you can close this chapter of her life, and she can go on and do, you know, WWE or whatever, or try to act or whatever. But I think this chapter of her life is done. And she did a lot for, you know, crossing over into mainstream America, you know, going on Ellen, you know, just basically being on daytime TV on the talk shows. That's big, you know, when you have a fighter that crosses over into mainstream America. And I mean, I'll miss her personally. I didn't like some of her antics, you know, but it was all part of the Ronda Rousey character, man. You got to look at it. Once that O was taken off her record, it's like she really wasn't the same. You know, we didn't get the same person. Her being, you know, the baddest woman on the planet and all that. You're talking about Holly Holm, man. I look at a fighter like Amanda. Who's going to beat Amanda? I don't see nobody beating Amanda right now. I don't see Holly beating her. I don't see none of those girls, you know, in that weight division beating her. So I can't say Holly needs to beat her right now, because I've seen Holly take a couple of L's, you know. So I think we need to just hold back on anointing somebody else, you know, the next Ronda Rousey or the next big thing, because we got a champion there that I don't see her losing no time. So I think she's her own worst enemy right now as far, but she's got her cardio up right now. So I don't, you know, that was the only thing that whatever happened with her, she would gas out. So she may, you know, control this division the next couple of years.
And yeah, Pam, I'm going to throw it to you. I don't have any problem with Ronda Rousey being inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame. I think we have to enjoy her for everything that she provided. I mean, women would not be in the UFC without Ronda Rousey. And I think, you know, Showtime points out a good point there, that she needs to be recognized, and yes, she needs to be put into the Hall of Fame now because she's not coming back. She's proven that. She's so delicate as a, you know, as a flower, that she's not going to come back to the UFC. So the question that I was asking, though, do you think that Holly Holm has the potential to overcome what Ronda Rousey has done in the UFC, showing to us that not only that she is willing to take all comers at 135, and she lost her belt to Miesha Tate. I mean, let's not hide anything here. That's in public knowledge. But she also pushed Cyborg to where no one else has pushed her. So I mean, we can comment on Ronda Rousey, and then I want you to comment on what you think about Holly Holm.
Okay, I like, I like Holly. I've always been a fan of Holly. Ronda, I have never been a fan of Ronda. I always felt like she was shoved down everybody's throat because Dana wanted to make her a star. I don't think that she was the best female fighter. I think that she was better than her female fighters out there. There you go. I had to think of a word. But you have to look also at the competition at the time. If you were to put her up against any of these girls now, what they know now, she wouldn't be where she is. You know, the competition, she was a big girl. She was bigger than all the other girls, you know, kind of like a Conor thing, bigger than all the other girls. She had her one stick, which was, you know, the judo throw into the arm bar because her boxing was shit. Did she pave the way? No, because there were women fighters before her. But was she the most marketable? Probably, because she's the one that got marketed the most. Holly, I think people like her, but I don't think she is as likable and personable as she could be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if she can get to that place where Ronda was, because Ronda was pushed. Holly's not getting that push from anybody. Right. So, you know, will she get to that? I would say no, because she's not getting that push.
Okay, Marco, let's throw to you. Because you've heard what Showtime had to say. You've heard what Pam had to say. And you know what the question is. So what are your feelings on Ronda and the Hall of Fame, and of course, what Holly Holm has been able to do? Because just let me interject something here real quick. I thought that Holly Holm took an extra step on the weekend. I thought that she performed not only very, very well in a way that we've never seen her done before, but she worked the mic well in the post-fight interview, and shout out to DJ Tony for the amped version of those post-fight interviews. Thank you very much for that, DJ Tony. And she worked out very well in the post-fight press conference, which also was amped. Marco.
So, first of all, Ronda's going to be crowned the new WWE Women's Champion this weekend by beating Nia Jax. So take that for what it's worth.
MMA show.
But, yeah, I know. But, dude, let's not, like, try to play revisionist history here, because, first of all, Ronda made her name not on the UFC, but in a Strikeforce, with her feud with Miesha Tate, and then by beating Sarah Kaufman, that at the time was considered the best bantamweight on the planet, you know? So let's not disrespect them. And then he beat Miesha again when she came into the UFC, beat Sarah McMahon, an Olympic silver medalist on the freaking Olympics in wrestling, beat Kat Zingano, Alexis David, Liz Carmouche, and of course she freaking met Beth Correa, because Beth Correa should have never been on the fight. On the fight with Holly Holm, on Ronda Rousey's name alone, she put 58,000 butt on the seats in Australia on an stadium. It wasn't Holly Holm there. Holly Holm made her name because of the win with Ronda Rousey. And then what she went and do? She lost to Misha Tate, you know, that is Ronda's nemesis. So let's not freaking take a big fat dumb on freaking as Ronda Rousey's accomplishments. Yeah, she was the best fighter on her weight class at the time, and then she came into a fighting style that was better than hers, you know, enter Holly Holm, enter Amanda Nunes. But all these women, every single one of them, all the place they're in right now because of Ronda Rousey, because she was the one that forced a freaking forced Dana White to put women's MMA in the USA, you know? So, in retrospect, you know, historically speaking, Ronda Rousey is on the pantheon of freaking one of the most important fighters on MMA history because of her, we got women's MMA in the USC. They created the strawweight division, the featherweight division just for Cyborg, and, of course, you know, now we got the flyweight division. We got four women divisions. But none of that would have happened if Ronda Rousey did a freaking push the freaking door and wide open and said, okay, women's MMA belong on the USC, and then a freaking finally saw the light. She deserves to be on the freaking Hall of Fame. You know, there is no ifs or buts about it. You know, for what she done for the sport, for the way that she carried, you know, women's MMA on her back for the first 3 years, and, you know, for her accomplishments themselves. You know, she still holds the record for more defenses on the UFC on any women's division. When it comes to Holly Holm, yeah, she showed a lot of improvement on freaking on UFC 225. I was impressed. But then again, who did she show it against? Amiga Anderson, that is a striker, but show a freaking ocean of a huge gap on when he comes to her ground game. If it was a girl like Misha Tate or a Sarah McMahon or like even a Kat Zingano or an Amanda Nunes, I doubt that Holly Holm would have been able to get those takedowns as easily and have top control that easily either. You know, good for Holly Holm, but she's on the wrong right of 30. She's going to be 37. She's running out of time, man. I want to see her against Amanda because that is the most interesting fight Amanda can have besides a super fight with Cyborg. So let's see what happens. Good for her. You know, she followed a good game plan. Press what she did, but also take in consideration who she did it against. That's what I have to say.
Okay, guys, so let's try to wrap this show up here. Last segment, we have heard that the UFC 25, Marco, I'm going to throw this right to you, has only got 125,000 pay-per-view buys. Go.
Well, first of all, the LA Times reported 150,000 pay-per-view buys.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because I want to hear what Dave Meltzer had to say. Dave Meltzer
right.
Have been the gospel when it comes to the number. These are early reports. So, like I said, you don't really get the final number until a week or a week and a half after the freaking pepper.
And let's be honest, Marco. We're not getting the real numbers anyways, right?
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the industry, you know, Comcast and Time Warner and all the providers, they don't own anything to the UFC. They can give you their numbers, you know, because they're not under a non-disclosure. So that is where they get their estimates. But they're always estimates. All that said, even if these numbers are like that bad, you know, that I think they're gonna when we get the final numbers, they're gonna be a little bit better. But I don't think they're gonna be blockbusters because when it comes to promotional fights. What the casual people, this was like an MMA hardcore freaking drink card. But for the hardcores, man, what the casual one is the drama, the hype. There was no hype for this fight, man. The only one that tried to hype this fight was Kobe Covington. And for the hardcores, well, we heard it, but I don't see the mainstream media pick it up and the casuals pick it up. And that is where it hurts the numbers. Guess what, guys? The sky is not freaking falling. You know why? Because just a couple of weeks ago, the UFC signed a $300 million a year with ESPN for the next 5 years. So the sky is not falling. My point here is that next year, with the ESPN muscle behind it, promoting fights, promoting pay-per-views, promoting fighters, I would like to see how those numbers change. Because, yeah, Fox and Fox Sports is a big network, but FS1 and FS2 is not ESPN. So next year, towards the end of the year, you get the big names back fighting, you know, like John Jones and Brock Lesnar have been rumored up there. And the McGregor-Khabib Nurmagomedov fight that is scheduled for, you know, later this year. When we see those numbers, let's have the conversation then. Yeah, this was a dream freaking fight for hardcore. A lot of freaking title fights, you know, big names for the MMA hardcore, but the casuals don't know. And if the casuals don't know, you don't get the numbers of pay-per-view. So the sky is not falling, but I'll be a little bit
concerned. No, of course not.
There you go.
Yeah, I appreciate your point of view, Marco, because I've said that there's 150,000 fans that are going to – it's like the base. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, the previous pay-per-view that had Amanda Nunes on it, it didn't sell so well. But Showtime, I throw it to you.
You know, my take on this, too, is, man, to be honest, the UFC, they need to find other big stars. I mean, other than Conor, other than, say, John Jones or GSP, the active fighters, who's been on the card that had over 500,000 pay-per-view buys?
Right.
I mean, it's Tony Gomez. Check this out. Everybody's talking about Khabib, but I don't even think Khabib is a big draw. I mean, if Khabib and Tony probably, if they fought on a pay-per-view card, it probably would get, I would say about 350. You know, but to be honest, you know, we're saying that 350,000 pay-per-view buys is okay. I mean, looking at this could show us how much of a star a guy like Conor, a guy like Floyd. I mean, just think about the numbers that these guys do. That, I mean, you know, when that's just talking about Ronda, the numbers that Ronda did. I mean, that's crazy. You got a fighter, you got pay-per-view buys. I mean, cars that don't even do, you know, a quarter of what they do when they fight. So that, I mean, they need to try to build up some big stars. I mean, Kobe Covington has a big mouth and he's talking a lot of talk, but maybe, you know, maybe if he gets to the White House and do all this crazy stuff he's trying to do, maybe he'll bring a different audience in. Because that's what I think ESPN would bring a different audience in. You know, you may have, especially if they're doing some of the cards after a football game or something, and you got people that just don't turn their TV and leave it on ESPN and watch it, may, you know, get into MMA a little bit more. Because we still got to realize, guys, this sport is still a relatively young sport. So it's been out there in the mainstream a little bit, but they need to build some more stars. I mean, it really lets you know, with John Jones being on the sideline, Conor playing games, Ronda retiring, I mean – not even real big stars. I mean, you got some people that's on the cusp of jumping to the next level. You know, that's what they wanted the Sage Northcutt to do. You know, they wanted, you know, people like that are very marketable. They wanted them to try to get mainly younger audience in, you know, to make them purchase pay-per-views. But UFC got a lot of work to do, in my opinion.
Pam?
Yep. Well, you know, I don't believe that it did 150,000. There's no way. I mean, I had to have been more. But again, you know what? When you posed the question, I was thinking about it. When did we even see any kind of promo for this fight? What happened to all the, let's go to like 8 million continents and let's promote this fight? Dana mm-hmm. White's a promoter. Why is he not promoting the fight? You know, he promotes who he wants to promote, and he only promotes Conor. So, you know, that's why you have these guys calling each other out, because he's not doing his job. But, you know, case in point, Vegas, we got, man, Stipe and DC mm-hmm. in 3 weeks. Showtime, have you seen any promos for that?
With that, I have.
It hasn't been as many as I would expect.
I mean, no, I mean, unless you know about this fight, you know, they're fighting, but there's been really nothing on Twitter. There's been nothing on, you know, at any of the FS ones, nothing really on Fight Pass. So where's the promo for all these fights, you know?
Yeah.
You had
a super fight.
Right? And where's the fucking promos for it? This fight, I mean, Whitaker and Romero, oh my gosh. If you saw the first fight, how amazing the first fight was, how could they not promo this second fight? I mean, it's crazy. I know a lot of people don't like Colby Covington, but, you know, for him, now him and Tyron Woodley are going to fight. So where was the promo for this? You know, where was the promo for any of this stuff? This card, it was an amazing card from the pre-fight all the way to the main card. It was an amazing card. Where was the promo for it?
Hey, let me interject myself. We're talking about just the reported buys from the United States market. Remember, they don't count the Canadian market. And there is also pay-per-views in Australia. And Robert Whittaker, according to the reports, is the most popular fighter in Australia, even bigger than Jeremy Honda, by the way, lost this weekend, you know, in the boxing match. So maybe, you know, the American market didn't do too well, but I'm sure the Australian market did pretty good.
Oh, my gosh, right?
They're in the pay-per-view business, you know, and those numbers we don't know, you know, because that is Australia. They do their own thing out there, you know. We are freaking Aussies. But, you know, let's not, like I said, the sky is not falling. But I think my personal belief is it did probably 250,000 to 300,000, and it just has all the numbers has not been reported yet. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, my final thought before we throw to the end of the show. In this market nowadays, you can't do pay-per-view anymore. Pay-per-view is dead. I don't know why they keep doing this. You have plenty of other countries that are getting this content for free. Hey, guess what? We have the fucking internet. Sorry, Tony, I swore. You're the F word. Not trying not to get too upset.
Talk him out.
Yeah. Listen, guys. There are plenty of people who can watch this content for free. They don't need to buy it. They don't need to buy it. Whether or not they're in North America or they're in Australia, somebody could buy it in Australia and then put it over Instagram or you know, anything, FaceTime. And we heard about that happening on an interview previously. I won't get into it though. Listen, guys, the game needs to change. This pay-per-view, $65, if you're going to do 4 pay-per-views a month, and you're only going to charge North America and Australia for pay-per-view. It's not going to work anymore, guys. You like Joe Rogan says, you cannot stop the internet. It's going to get out. Anyways, I digress. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into this show. We had a little bit of a conversation about MMA, and I thought it went well. I mean, I had a couple more issues to bring up, but we didn't get to them. So let's end this show, DJ Tony. Cue the music. Thank you, Pam. Do you have a Twitter follow of the week, or do you have something that you want to promote? Go ahead.
Nope, I am just excited for in 3 weeks we're going to be in Vegas. Me and the Sam. Pam and Sam show and Showtime, and we're going to have a blast.
I love the Pam and Sam show. From afar, I love to watch it.
You pervert.
Well, Showtime gets to live it.
Lucky guy.
You pervert.
Showtime?
Hey, I can't wait, too, guys. Yeah, I can. You know what? I just want to say, hey, I'm excited for the Pam and Sam show. Shit,
that's
I can
right.
end it on that note.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get something serious in here right now. If for all our UK listeners, all of our listeners, Scribius Pip on his Distraction Pieces podcast did a very interesting podcast this week. It dealt with brain trauma, and especially in our sport, I thought that this
this podcast was very interesting. So I'm going to give a shout out to Scribius Pip at Scribius Pipio and the Distraction Pieces podcast. Go check that out, because brain damage is a real thing. And especially if you're in the UK, it's going to open your eyes to how difficult it is for people with that disability to get rights or to get, you know, money to live. So check that out. And on a non-depressing note, check out Bomb One. Bomb first, Tony.
Hello?
Nothing from Tony.
Nada.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. Marco is going to end this show. Get it done.
Okay, so my guilty pleasures this week have been my baby girl Angelica loves TJ Maxx. I've been forced to watch a lot of TJ Maxx cartoons lately. So figures. And season 4 of The Flash on Netflix, man. Super show. I love those superhero shows.
Hey, one second, Marco. Let me get your review. The new Thor movie. Did you like that? Did you not like that?
What movie?
The new Thor movie?
Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
Love it.
Did you like it?
Well, you liked it? I got like 20 minutes in and I couldn't do it.
That was the whole thing. And the Hulk is a main part of the freaking movie and on the second half, and I love it. They beat the crap out of each other. I love the Hulk. So, yeah, I love to run around.
Oh, so it gets better.
And a Marvel geek. I'm a geek, man. I love the Marvel movies. Love it.
No, I like them too. And I gave you a hard time last week when we spoke. But I like them too. But this movie, it was very slow in the beginning, and I had a very hard time getting into it.
I tried to. They were watching it here at the house, and I was like, "Is this a comedy, or what the hell's going on here?" So
yeah, it was terrible, right?
Anyway, yeah, I couldn't get into it.
You blasphemous fools!
Does it
I
get
know,
better, Marco?
I like violent. Yeah. No.
Okay, let me close the damn show.
Okay, close the show.
On tour. We're hitting on the God Almighty, man. We're hitting on him. So, follow Tony. I am DJ Tony. Follow Producer of Produce. Follow Showtime at Raimundo. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow me at Meldo Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast. Play and review as Knuckleheads. No fight this weekend, so guess what? You go out and enjoy WWE SmackDown. And watch Ronda Rousey become a champion again. We better leave you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy.
I have no idea what Marco said there at the end of his rant. Thank you, Showtime, for showing up. And just like that, Pam.
We're out. Ciao.
Bye.